right. You got your Bible open to Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4 also. We're going to look at these two together. And I was just thinking about Moses and his excuses. We've already prayed. I want to go ahead and get started tonight. You know, it's interesting to hear people's excuses, how we justify what we don't do. Church, you've heard it said before, you know, whom God calls, he qualifies. You've heard it said before that God does not ask us to do anything that does not enable us to do. And, you know, so many times we as Christians, we make excuses for why. And by the way, it's interesting, Moses here in this passage here, you would have thought that if anybody didn't make excuses, it would have been Moses. And you look at Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about how Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, he's mentioned in the Hall of Faith. He was the great leader as far as leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. I just want you to understand that good Christians, have a tendency, if we're not careful, to make excuses why we're not doing what the will of God is. There's fewer people going to the mission field, and it's not because God stopped calling them, it's because people stopped listening and following the call of God. And we make excuses for that. But truthfully, church family, I want to tell you something. You'll never go to the mission field if you don't tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ from here. And God's got a purpose and a plan for all of our life. And we've said it over and over and over. You look at a puzzle that's finished, that's how God looks at your life. And right now you're doing it a piece at a time. You're trying to figure out what's God doing. God knows exactly what He's doing. And I want to tell you, we have a revealed will of God. And we've got a specific will of God. And the revealed will of God are the things that God tells us in Scripture that we're supposed to be doing. God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It's the revealed will of God. I'm supposed to be in the book on a daily basis. It's the revealed will of God. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. God says, I want you to talk to me. It's the revealed will of God. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's the revealed will of God. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. It's the revealed will of God. Give and it shall be given unto you. There's things in the Scripture that the Bible makes it really clear. It is what I want you to do. But I want to tell you, there's some things that aren't spelled out. Who I'm supposed to marry. Exactly what church I'm supposed to go to. Where I'm supposed to get a job. Where am I supposed to go to college? There are things in life that are not the specifics, revealed, but God shows us through the Word of God, man of God, Spirit of God. God uses things in our life to direct us to those things. But I want to tell you, you're not going to find out what God's perfect will for your life is if you're not doing what is already revealed and not doing what the written Word of God is in your life. Now, Moses here had a burning bush experience, and I know all of us wish we had that sometimes. I think there's Christians, oftentimes they come for counsel, and I don't know how many times I've heard this statement. Pastor, I wish God would just tell me what to do. And in some cases, it's a matter of God's trying to get them to wait. In other cases, God's telling them what to do, but they're not listening. But I want you to understand that sometimes what we do is we're not doing the will of God. We know what the will of God is. So here comes Moses. Moses is leading these sheep on the backside of the desert. He comes to this burning bush, and he sees it burning. I find it interesting, a couple of the words that are mentioned there. Look at your Bible again in Exodus chapter 3. In verse number 3, it says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Then in verse number 4, it says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called. I circled the word why in verse number 3, underlined the word when in verse number 4, and then underlined God called in verse number 4. Because I want to tell you, sometimes God gets us to question why before we find out when what God's will is for our life. As we say, why is God allowing this to happen in my life? And I want to tell you something. When you turn aside and look to God, God will tell you why He's allowing it to happen in your life. So here He's coming along. He sees this bush that's burning. The Bible says He went to see why it was burning. And then when He turned to the side, then He comes and God says, hey, listen, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off. And God begins to talk to Moses. And at that burning bush, God reveals exactly what His will is. There was no question about it. Look back at your Bible, chapter 3 and verse number 10. It's the only verse, or I should say it's the specific verse that shows us what God was telling Moses to do. Verse 10 says this, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And of course, verse number 11, he starts right in. And Moses said unto God, who am I? Now, Trisha, I want to walk through this, if you don't mind. I want you to stay with me now. I want to walk through, and I want you to give you the four questions, four excuses, what Moses said to God's command about His revealed will. Now, your family, I know it's not God's will for you to go lead, 600,000 men. Obviously, there's probably at least a million Jews. It's not God's will for you to lead a million Jews out of land of Egypt, okay? But what was God's will for Moses' life is to me, again, an illustration of what God's will is for our life. God has things. You say, well, what God asked Moses to do was something that seemed very impossible. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing impossible with God. He said, for without me, you can do All right, and that's John 15:5, I believe. And then, of course, Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I want you to understand that God gives us the ability to perform His will. When they were singing that last song a moment ago and talking about losing, as far as God cares, in that last verse talking about losing somebody that we love dear in our life, and I was thinking about different people in our church while we were singing that song. And I want to tell you something. Nobody wants to go through the shadow of death when it's a partner that you're losing in your life. But I want to tell you, if you went through the people in our church that have lost a spouse that are sitting in here, even tonight, I think they would tell you, because it's evident in their life, you can see that God's grace, God gave them the grace to make it through something that seemed very impossible. And I want to tell you, you're going to go through some dark days, you're going to do some good days. You're going to go through some things in your life that you think, there's no way I can do that. But I want you to understand that at a burning bush, Moses is standing and God says, I want you to go back to Pharaoh. And of course, it wasn't the same Pharaoh, but it was still the land of Egypt. The Pharaoh that was angry at Moses is dead and gone. Next Pharaoh is in position. He says, I want you to go back there and put your finger in his face and let my people go. And Moses thought to himself, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go back to Egypt. And I don't want to go back and talk to Pharaoh of all things. But it was God's will. 40 years he was raised in Pharaoh's daughter's home. 40 years he's on the backside of the desert. And 40 years he's going to walk the children of Israel across the wilderness to get to the land of Canaan. Now, I want to tell you, we're probably not going to live that long, amen? But God has a will for your life, and you ought to want to do God's will. Now, quickly, let me just show you the four excuses, and I just want to make application tonight. In verse number 11, here's the first one. He says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go? All right, now we can read the rest of the verse, but the who am I is what I want you to see there. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, God said, certainly I will be with thee. Jump down to verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? So in verse number 11, he says, who am I? In verse number 13, he says, what shall I say? Of course, God tells him in verse number 15, of course, the rest of verse 14 says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. All right. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am that sent me unto you. And then, of course, verse 15 through 22 is what God is speaking to Moses, talking to why he wants the children of Israel out of Egypt. Jump down to chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, and Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me. They will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. All right, now, church family, stay with me. I don't know if you underline your Bible. I underlined his four excuses. In chapter number 3, in verse number 11, he said, who am I? In chapter number 3, in verse number 13, he says, what shall I say? In chapter 4, in verse number 1, he says, they will not believe me. All right, so these are the excuses. These are the things that are going through Moses' mind. Then, of course, God tells him what to do in order to get the children of Israel to believe him. Verses 2 through verse number 9, he says, I'm going to give you three ways to show up. He says, the first thing I want you to do, Moses, is throw the rod on the ground. Throw the rod on the ground and it turns into a snake. Then he tells Moses, now pick it up by its tail. Well, that's the last thing I'd want to do is grab a snake by its tail. So, of course, it turns back into a rod. He says, that's not good enough. He says, take your hand, stick it into your bosom, pull it out, it'll be leprous. He says, put it back into your bosom, pull it out, it'll be whole again. He says, and if that won't work, go down to the river, take some water, pour it out, and the water you pour out is going to be turned to blood. So he says, I'm going to give you some signs to show the legitimacy and the genuineness that I'm the one that sent you, okay? And he does that in these verses following verse number 1. It's verses 2 through 9. And, of course, he tells them in verses 2 through 5 was the serpent turning into a rod. Verses number 6 and 7 was the leprous hand. Verses number 8 and 9, it was the water turned to blood. Now look at verse number 10. Here's his fourth excuse. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of slow of speech and of a slow tongue. All right. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now, just let me think for just a moment, his four excuses. All right. All right. If you're with me, say amen. All right. I don't want to lose you here in a little bit warm tonight, but here's what you think about. Moses' four excuses was simply this. God says, Moses, I want you to go back to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Moses, first thing he says, who am I? I mean, why are you choosing me? Go choose somebody else. I'm not the one. The second thing he says after he says, who am I, in chapter number 3, he says, what am I going to say? When I get there, what am I going to tell them that's going to show them, hey, listen, I know God, and God spoke to me. Then he says, but when I get there and tell them that, They're not going to believe me. And God says, well, okay, I'll give you three signs to show them that they believe me. And then the fourth thing he says, wait a second, I'm not eloquent. In other words, the word eloquent, talking about I don't have the speech, I don't have the oratory to be able to explain what you want me to do. Now, church family, I just want you to understand that in all four excuses, God had an answer for Moses to say, Moses, these things don't hold water. All right? I'm not eloquent. Who made man's mouth? Well, I'm not eloquent. I don't know what to say. Then I'll teach you what to say. You know, Moses was trying to not do what God's will is for his life. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of Christians that do the same thing. They simply don't do what God's will is for their life. Now, I don't know where you're in spirituality. Maybe you don't have any interest in the will of God. You came to church on a Sunday night, so you must have some interest in the will of God. And I want to tell you, He's got a will for your life. He's got a will for your family. He's got a will for your children. He's got a will for your job. He's got a will for everything. God sees the beginning from the end. He's got a perfect will for your life. And I want to tell you, we can make all the excuses in the world why I'm not doing God's will for my life. Hey, it's God's will for all of us to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's will, all right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go. He says it over and over and over. He tells us to make sure that we go and give the lost. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, verse 18 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark 16, 15. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Luke 14, 23. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. John 15, 16. I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. God tells us to go. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what we say? Who am I? I don't know what to say. They're not going to believe me. I'm not eloquent. Church, I mean, all of the excuses that Moses made, I really believe go hand in hand with all the excuses that we make concerning the will of God for our lives. Well, I just can't be the husband or wife that I need to be in the relationship, and I'm ready to get out of this relationship. I want to tell you this, with Moses, everything about the will of God. Who am I? What am I going to say? They're not going to believe me. I'm not eloquent. You know, all of us need to come to the place, the realization is simply this. God gave him three promises in that scripture, and what you need to do, whatever the will of God is for your life, you need to hold on to those three promises. Hey, listen, I have no doubt that in a crowd this size, there's somebody that God wants to go to the mission field, or there's somebody that God has a specific will that's out of the ordinary that he wants to use, and you're saying to yourself, well, you ought to choose somebody else. Who am I? I didn't come from that kind of family, and my parents were never in full-time Christian service, and we make excuses on who am I. In other words, my relationship as far as a person and my family and how I was brought up. Or we make excuses, well, what do I say? And goodness gracious, if I was to do that, no one would believe me anyway. And I don't have the speech to be able to give it or the eloquency to be able to do it. Church, I mean, we all know from the book of 1 Corinthians that God uses the despised things, the things that are not, in other words, God does not always use the person that's most noble, the most mighty. God has to pick some people that are not that way because usually the people who are surrendered to the will of God don't have all those abilities and talents. Hey, it would be a wonderful thing to find somebody who had the abilities and talents and said, okay, God, whatever your will is for my life, I'd do it. But unfortunately, they're chasing careers or chasing money instead of giving their life to God and saying, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And you know, I want to tell you, it's amazing. People who have the talent are critical of the people who don't have the talent, but the person who has the talent won't give their talent to God. And so what we do is we criticize the person who doesn't have the talent, and we say, man alive, I could have done a better job, and with God's help you could have, but you're not going to because you're saying like Moses, who am I? What am I going to say? They're not going to believe me. I'm not eloquent. I want you to understand, you don't have to be any of those things when you've got God. I was going to show you those things quickly. I want you to see the promises of God in this passage here. Look at your Bible again. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Let me just point them all three of them out real quick. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse number, verse number 12. And he said, certainly, what's the promise? I will be with thee. He said, certainly, I will be with thee in verse number 12. Look at verse number I think it's verse number 11, if I remember correctly. Verse number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee. So in verse 10, he says, I will send thee. In verse number 12, he says, I will be with thee. Look at chapter 12. Look at chapter 4, verse number 12. He says, now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee. Now, think about the three I wills of God mentioned in this passage here. In verse number 10, I will send thee. In verse number 12, I will be with thee. In chapter 4, in verse number 12, I will be with thy mouth and will teach thee. Fisherman, all I'm trying to get you to see tonight is simply this. Moses had all these excuses, but God took all the excuses out of the way because the bottom line was, is God says, if I'm on your side, you've got everything you're going to need. If you've got me, you've got everything you're going to need. It's not a matter of how can I do this. You can do it with God's help if you'll simply believe God. Trust God. What is God's will for your life and what does He want for you? Richard Sherman, I won't go long tonight. It's so warm in here. Some of you are. I know it's. I apologize. But I want to tell you something. I hope you'll grit this thought before you go home tonight. And it's simply this. Whatever God's will is for your life, there are no excuses that justifies why you cannot do it. We justify why we can't do the will of God when I want to tell you something. It's all about what we think as far as our justification. We justify it because of our own physical abilities. We justify it because of our background, as far as our family backgrounds. We justify it because of the finances that we have in the bank. We justify it because of what we think is best for our life. All I know is simply this, is that God's got a will for your life, and Moses, we're no different than Moses. Moses says, hey, listen, God, who am I? I can't do that. God, I know what you're asking me. What am I going to say? I know what you're telling me to do, but they're not going to believe me if I told them what you told me to do. God, I know what you're asking, but I'm not eloquent enough to be able to present that like you're telling me to present it. And God says, hey, listen, Moses, I can take care of all that. I'm the one sending you. I can take care of all that. I'm the one that's with you. I can take care of all that. I made man's mouth and I can put in your mouth and teach you what you need to say. You know, isn't it interesting in the story here, and most of you know it, but isn't it interesting when you read a little farther down, the Bible says, got angry with Moses. You know why he got angry with Moses? Because he kept making excuses. But God, couldn't you send somebody along with me? Well, I'll tell you something. I bet Moses regrets saying that. Because God sends Aaron along with him. And as soon as Moses goes up to the mount, Aaron's making a golden calf. You know, so many times we look at our lives and we think to ourselves, this has to happen now. God's timing is always the best timing. Or we say it's got to happen this way. God's way is always the best way. And when we yield our will to God and say, okay, God, whatever you want in my life, and we surrender to that will, I want to tell you, it comes out just like it's supposed to. But if you make excuses on why you cannot do it, you're going to miss out on the will of God, and you're going to miss out what God wants to do through His will. In other words, whatever God's will is, you're going to miss out on what God wanted to do with you and for you and through you, because you're trying to do it your way instead of making excuses why I can't. Hey, I just want you to understand, you can't. The only reason you can, my father used to say, when you can't, God can. When you can and don't, God won't. And I want to tell you, there's nobody able to do it. All you are is the vessel. It's like the bush. The bush was burning, but the bush wasn't God. It was God in the bush that caused it to burn, but not burn. I just want you to understand, it's not the bush, it's the God in the bush, and it's not the person, it's the God in the person. It's not a matter of you having the capability of doing what God's will is for your life. You don't have the money to do it. You don't have the ability to do it. But there's a God in heaven that says, listen, I'll help you through that. And I want to tell you what it goes back to. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What you're going to have to do is you're just going to trust God. I don't know how it's going to happen, but this is what God wants for my life. This is what I'm going to do. Have you ever made a decision in your life when you're about to make the decision, you thought, well, this really doesn't make sense, but I'm pretty certain this is what God wants me to do. My father used to always say, don't undo in doubt what you've done in faith. There's so many times that a person, by faith, boy, they get all gung-ho and they're doing something, and boy, right at the beginning, it's always glorious and good. But then the farther they get into it, it gets to be a little rough. And they jump ship when the storms come or when something takes place in their life. And the truth of the matter is, they had the faith to start, but they didn't have the faith to finish. Listen, I'm not talking just to young people. I believe the message is for everybody tonight. But I understand this. I think there's a lot of young people that are going to miss out. And 20 years down the road, they're going to look back and think to themselves, you know, I should have done this, but I didn't do it because I just wasn't sure. You know what you're really saying? Right now, you're justifying like Moses and you're making excuses why I cannot do whatever God wants you to do in your life. And I just want you to understand, do what you know you're supposed to do and you'll find out what those unrevealed or what those specific or perfect will of God if you'll just simply do the revealed things. You know, I have no doubt that if a person reads their Bible on a regular basis and you spend time in prayer on a regular basis, that God's going to show you what His daily plan is for your life. The reason what we do is we wonder what God's will is for our life, but we're not even doing the basics right. Hey, who am I? You're a nobody. And I say that I'm talking about we're nobodies, but we got a great God. What am I going to say? You don't have to worry about what you're going to say. God will tell you what to say. You say, well, they're not going to believe me anyway. You're just the messenger boy on whatever the situation is. You're just the messenger boy. They're going to get mad at me if I tell them what I think the Lord wants us to do. Or they're going to get mad at me if I try to give them the gospel. You're just the messenger boy. If they don't believe, it's their fault. God's the one that's got the children of Israel out of Egypt, not you. I'm not eloquent enough. I don't have the abilities. There's just no way I can do that. I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to say it, and I'm slow of speech, and I just wish I could do it, but I can't. You know, it's funny. We get on our children all the time when they say, I can't. Well, I can't. And, you know, as a parent, we know they can. I'm talking about as a parent with a child, we know they can. You know, your Heavenly Father's up in heaven. He knows you can. I can't do that. I can't do that. Yes, you can. If you'll simply just do it because the Father said to do it. Schedule's too tough. Not enough time. Too many things to do. Not enough time to get them done. I want to tell you something. Your Father's the one that can give you a lengthy day. Your Father's the one that can make things get done faster than they would normally get done. I want to tell you, you say not enough finances. You say your Heavenly Father can get you to get those blue light specials. Your Father can make sure that you don't spend money that you don't need to spend. You say, oh, I just don't, those opportunities, your Father can break those opportunities. You know, it's like the person that says, you know, I can't teach a Sunday school class, or I can't run a bus route, or I can't do children's ministries, or I can't work with older people, or I can't. I just want you to understand you can. And what you ought to do is you ought to wipe all the excuses out of the way and just simply say, okay, God, show me what you want, and that's what I want to do. And I know that I can't do it, but I know that you can help me do it. You know, come here for a second. You doing all right? You doing all right?
Yes,
you doing all right?
I am, sir.
You doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Good. It's nice to have you here tonight.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
You're very, very welcome. You nervous yet?
Yes, sir.
Are you really nervous?
I'm really nervous.
Really nervous? Everyone's watching you. You've been saved a long time? You've been saved a long time?
For 3 years.
3 years?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's funny. He can't talk very well. But he's got more get up and go than some of you in here that can talk in front of anybody. He stutters and stammers, and I'm making fun of him to get you to see. He can't even get the words out of his mouth. But there's some of you, you could talk to a stranger and not miss a beat. But yet you're making excuses why God can't use you. And he's willing to stand in front of anybody, and he's willing to take the embarrassment. He's willing to talk to people he doesn't even know. He'll go up to a person he doesn't even know, and they're looking at him like, what's wrong with you? They should ask me. I'll tell them what's wrong with him. But you know the difference between him and you? The difference between him and you is he's not making excuses. I think the Lord can heal him of that. You know, it's worse when he's nervous. But I want to tell you something. I sent him out. He went out and preached in Wichita, Kansas, I think it was, while I was I think it was when I was in South Sudan, if I remember correctly. He went and preached twice and taught a Sunday school class and preached the service and in front of people. And he's willing to do that. Now, I just want you to understand, if I got behind a pulpit and I had a hard time getting the words out, I think I would ask the Lord, hey, you got another plan for my life? Isn't that amazing? I want to tell you something. You sit here and talk with him. He's got a good heart.
Amen.
He does have a good heart. Every time he comes to my office to talk to me, it takes him a while to get it out. And he'll just look at me. And I said, Enoch, there's nothing to be nervous about. Just talk to me. And then he'll still sit there and look at me. But you know what I like about Enoch? He's got a good heart and he's not quitting. And yet there's some of you, you've been saved years and years and years and years. And you're not willing to do what God's will is for your life. And you make excuses why you can't do them. And I'm talking about everything from getting your marriage back on track to witnessing to a lost person to serving in ministry. I want to tell you something. If there's anybody in the auditorium that has an excuse why they shouldn't be in ministry, it's this guy. Thank you, Mamie Stephen. Church family, Moses made the same excuses. Who am I? What do I say? They're not going to believe me. I'm not eloquent. Well, when you figure out that all you are is an axe a saw, a hammer. When you figure out all you are is the tool, and it's the person who picks up that tool that makes the difference, that's when you get willing to do the will of God. I couldn't lead songs on a bus. Why not? I couldn't be a helper in a Sunday school class. Why not? I can't pass out a gospel tract. Why not? It's not you. It's who's in you. Moses, those people aren't going to come out of the land of Egypt because of what you do. I want to tell you why they're going to come out of the land of Egypt. Because I'm going to send flies and frogs and lice and darkness and locusts. And eventually I'm going to kill the firstborn. And you know what? They're going to want you to leave. Not because of you. All you are is a spokesperson. Because of me. Church, when God wants to do a great thing in your life, the question is, are you willing to do the will of God? I want to tell you the answer to that. You're not willing to do the will of God if you're not willing to do what you know is the will of God. Tonight's message is not about, okay, what do you want me to do? God's already told you in the Bible what He wants you to do. Read His Word. Spend time in prayer. Go soul winning. Be in church. Be a giver. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. All the things that are mentioned in the Scripture, are you doing those things right now? You do those things, you'll find out what the will of God is. And you'll stop making excuses. Well, who am I? What do I say? They won't believe me. I'm not eloquent enough. You'll say, here am I, Lord. Whatever you want, that's what I want. I can be a better Christian. I can be a better father and a better husband. I can be a better soul winner. I can, by God's grace. What Paul say? I am what I am by the grace of God. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?